Welcome to Module 7, DML Essentials. You are now at the point in the process where you will be able to manipulate records and write them back to the database. This will be done using DML, or Data Manipulation Language. This module will cover the following topics: options for persisting data, invoking DML events, and handling DML errors and exceptions. Let's begin with options for persisting data. This three-step algorithm contains steps for gathering records for processing, processing the records in memory, and persisting the records to the database. This is where DML comes in. Understanding the intricate data relationships within Salesforce CRM may be helpful with testing. At this point, it may be helpful to go through a review of the Sales CRM data module. If this is something you feel fairly comfortable with, then feel free to move ahead to the next slide. AW Computing implemented the Salesforce Sales Cloud to manage their sales cycle, including tracking marketing projects, identifying and qualifying prospects, and managing the progress of sales deals. The Sales Cloud leverages the following standard objects: Campaign, an outbound marketing project that you want to plan, manage, and track within Salesforce. Lead, a prospect or potential opportunity. Account, customers, competitors, and partners. Each account stores information such as name, address, and phone numbers. Contact, individuals associated with your business accounts that you need to track in Salesforce. Opportunity, sales deals that you want to track. Standard objects have predefined one-to-many relationships with each other. For example, the account object has a one-to-many relationship with the contact object. The account object is the parent. Related lists allow you to navigate down from a parent record to related child records. The contact object is the child. Lookup fields allow you to navigate up from a child record to its parent record. This means a single account, such as ABC Labs, can have many related contacts, for example, Arnold, Adam, and Bertha Boxer. Previously, you learned how to manipulate records within the developer console, such as running a query to return rows from a database, open a record, including its detail page, to edit, and create a new record in an object. You should be familiar with using SQL to query the database. Now let's explore new ways to use the developer console to persist changes to data. In what ways can you use the UI to make new records or change records in their org's database? Answer: record detail page, list views, action buttons for Salesforce One, or the desktop version of the Salesforce app. Now, let's move on to how to update data programmatically. Steps will include fetching saved data, updating the fetched data in memory, saving it back using DML, fetching our updated data from the database, and verifying the results. The DML in this example is the update command. There are several other types of DML commands, as you'll see next. Match the number of the scenario on the left to the letter of the command on the right. Answers: 1, B. 2, A. 3, D. 4, C. 5, E. Now that you have an understanding of options for persisting data, let's move on to invoking DML events. There are key differences in how you can perform DML operations. One option is standalone DML, where you just use the name of the DML operation: insert, update, or delete. The other is to use a system class called database and a method that corresponds to the DML operation: database.insert, database.update, or database.delete. In these code examples, the standalone DML and database method will generate the same result. This code example is creating two contacts, one with a last name and the other with no values. Both contacts are added to a list using list.add method. Then, with the list put together, including the two contacts An insert is done with the good record and an incomplete record. What do you think happens next? Does the incomplete contact get inserted? Answer: no. Does the complete contact get inserted? Answer: no. The process will return an exception and roll everything back, even though one of the records is good. We have seen how using the standalone DML statement is an all-or-nothing proposition. If you want more control over this process, you can use the DML methods of the database class, setting the second parameter, named all-or-none, to false. This is sometimes referred to as partial processing of records. It will result in valid records being successfully processed, while at the same time allowing you to deal with failed records separately. You will be provided with examples of how to do this later on in this course. There is only one way to get partial processing, and that is to set the all-or-none parameter to false. All the code statements on the left-hand side are equivalent. They all exhibit the all-or-none behavior, that is, if one record in a batch fails, the entire batch fails. When you insert a new record in the database, you do not need to write a query to retrieve its ID. The variable that refers to the record automatically has access to the ID of the newly inserted record. Now that you have an understanding of invoking DML events, let's move on to handling DML errors and exceptions. Here, we have 5 blocks of code. Some of these blocks will cause an exception, others will not. Review the code in each of the blocks and answer the questions. 1. In the first block, you have a list of contacts that create an empty list of contacts. If you insert the contacts into a database, what will happen? 2. In the second block, you have a list of contacts that creates an empty contact. If you insert that contact, what happens? 3. The third block is trickier. You create a new contact with a last name and add it to the list. Next, a null value is added to our list. What happens here? 4. In the fourth block, what happens with the for loop iteration set at the value of 175? 5. In the fifth block, what happens when trying to insert the comment displayed on the last line? 1. Good. 2. Required field missing. 3. Null. 4. Governor limits. 5. String too long. Apex exceptions can be anticipated and handled by wrapping your code in a try-catch block. The try block begins with the try command followed by the code to run. Catch works by capturing the exception thrown from the system. If an exception occurs, the catch block will handle the exception and allow your code to proceed. We have seen previously how batches can be partially processed using DML methods from the database class and by setting the all-or-none parameter to false. Now, let's discuss how we can process records which caused errors. An array of save result objects is returned with the insert and update database methods. A delete operation will return an array of delete result objects, and similar eponymous result objects are returned for each operation. Each element in the save result array corresponds to the elements in the S object array, which was passed to the DML method, that is, the first element in the save result array matches the first element passed in the S object array. The second element corresponds with the second element, and so on. The save result class has 3 instance methods: getID, isSuccess, and getErrors. Next, we will look at some code that shows us how to use these methods to process records with errors. To process records with errors, loop through the returned save result array as shown on line 8. Recall that each element in the save result array corresponds to a record. For each save result, call the isSuccess method to determine whether the DML operation on the record was successful. If the operation was not successful, the inner for loop will determine all the errors that occurred. Each error is of type database.error and has methods such as getFields and getMessage that provide more information about the error. In our example, we simply output the result to a debug log, but you can take any action you wish. Please take a moment to provide answers to the governor limit questions. 1. What is the current governor limit for the total number of DML statements issued? Use the limits guide online to discover the answer. 2. What will happen during the execution of this for loop if the number of records returned by the query in line 1 exceeds the number of DML statements allowed in a single transaction? Answers. 1. 150. 2. You'll hit the governor limit and get an exception on line 3 when the update is executed on the 151st iteration. The exception in this case is a DML exception. 1. What is the current governor limit for the heap size in synchronous Apex? 2. What happens if the volume of data of contacts grows to be larger than the heap size limit? Answers. 6 megabytes. You'll hit the heap size governor limit on line 4 when adding a position to the list. 1. How does this code sample solve the issues we saw in the previous 2 code samples? Answer. You will end up using 1 DML statement on line 5 per 200 records. Here is a summary of what was covered in this module. Take a moment and read through the bullets for review.